Hello and welcome to another episode of a Salesforce United podcast, a podcast about Salesforce and people who work with it. Here we discuss engineering discoveries, professional secrets, and the career of our guests. I'm Andrei Poskrykov, a software engineer, and to my delight, your host.
Hello and welcome everyone. It's me, Olga Dmitrieva, and I'm a software testing engineer. And I'm, as always, happy to be here today.
Hi, welcome everyone. My name is Olya, and I'm, as always, very passionate and enthusiastic about our new Salesforce.
Olya, can you guess the number this episode has?
No idea, but I think if you're asking, probably it should be something remarkable.
Yeah, I have a hint. The last episode was 9th.
Although I'm a linguist, but I give it a try and I would say 10th episode.
Great, exactly. That was an amazing journey to 10 episodes. I would like to thank everybody, the team of the podcast, Оля Молотилова, Ольга Дмитриева, Никита Сахар, every guest of the show. We had 17 people from 7 countries, just imagine. And of course, thanks to our listeners. Okay, here we go. Olga, it's time to introduce today's guest.
Oh yes, I'm already anticipating this interesting talk. And today we are going to dive into a world of a really cool and valuable product creation process, both for a business and for the end users, aren't we? In order to investigate what is usually going on under the hood, we have invited Georgi Avilov, a Salesforce lead consultant from a Germany company DIA. Georgi has a very impressive experience of performing a product owner role on Salesforce projects. Believe me, I have drilled down Georgi's LinkedIn profile very carefully. So, Georgi, welcome to our today's talk.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, and my congratulations to your first, and I'm pretty sure that not last, anniversary. I've been an active listener of your podcast, and now I'm pretty happy to participate, and thank you for having me here today.
Okay, so let's start. And my first question to you, Georgi, is very, very simple. If to start from the scratch, could you please present yourself and tell us from your professional point of view, who is a product owner? What kind of role is it? And what does he usually do on a project, especially in agile teams where cross-functional collaboration is present?
I would say, well, if we're talking mainly about the Salesforce environment, the product owner can be external or internal. External means that he or she is leading the product which is supplied for the customers, adding some functionality to basic Salesforce functionality. For example, like an AppExchange or something else. Yeah, and this product will be supplied to the market with the ability to any customer to buy it, and yeah, being responsible not only for the functional part of this product, but also for the commercial success. A bit less complicated from my point of view is to be an internal product owner, when a person is leading the internal implementation, being a representative with the Salesforce knowledge how inside the company, and being a person who knows how to set up the right pipeline of the developments in this environment, and how to make it with the appropriate resources, how to involve these resources, how to distribute work within these resources. So being the main responsible person who is doing the Salesforce implementation within the firm.
Okay, so how interesting it is. And now we will have a deeper understanding of this role. And as far as I understand, most part of your work is devoted to getting a product from concept to delivery, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, and in this regard, I would like to start from the scratch and to figure out, how do you usually come up with new ideas and requirements? What helps you to understand what is important?
Well, basically, an overall idea is to have a constant communication with business. So only business or your end customer will be the right source of all the requirements and ideas that will be generally stored in your backlog. So if we do some theoretical investigation of the basics, how it can be done. So there are several different ways we can do this, like interviews, surveys, but my favorite one is shadowing. When you have an ability to sit down with your business and to look through what is actually their work, their constant work consists of, when you can do the same things and understand what is it real behind the roles that you're working for, you will be able to see what kind of things can improve this work and what can finally bring some value. Then, like having some sort of the technical knowledge behind you, probably not necessarily to be a developer, however, at least the understanding of technical functionality is really, really critical. So you will be able to find, okay, so this and that can be delivered, and then get back to your team and decide, okay, so here is our backlog and what else will we do? What else will we not be able to do? What else do we need? And to prioritize work and to prioritize things that you will be delivering for the end customer.
Okay, so I see there are many tools which can help to learn about the new ideas. And you told us about the prioritization and how do you determine whether an idea is a worthwhile investment and that it would be valuable to be implemented?
I think that the most honest answer will be you should feel it. However, it's not just you can do and deliver. It's something that you should definitely be a bit more reflecting. Yeah, so when you have a requirement coming from business, the worst thing you can do is just take it and go to your team and make it developed immediately. So the best approach will be to list everything and to compare, yeah, having it listed in the backlog, to compare with each other and to understand, okay, so this one is more important, this one is less important, this can bring some value right now, this will be valuable in the longer term perspective. If there is a hint, yeah, so if like a certain feature can bring immediate economical value, for example, like implementing a new sales channel on the platform, and with the obvious outcome, probably not that certain terms of money, however, with definite understanding that some money will come when you will be when this part will be implemented. So it's easier, it can be understood and prioritized appropriately. The rest, it's the balance of thinking, of analysis, of identifying what it can bring and what the other features that are still waiting for the development can be implemented at the same time. Comparing between each other, you will always find an answer what is more critical right now, what is more necessary right now, and what is not.
Very thoughtful ideas, and they show us the way how everything should go. And I think that it really helps to understand how the process of delivery is going on.
And as you've mentioned the balance, I'm curious how to find this balance and know when is the right time to say no. Have you ever done this and said no to a stakeholder?
Yeah, of course. My job consists of saying no to the people I'm talking to. It's, like the most common request that is usually coming to the team is something, okay, we need it as soon as possible, let's make it happen. And, often people who are doing this, they think about their current necessity and they're not thinking about some strategic things, where the system is moving, how it is evolving, what else is in the backlog. So they don't care that much, and they should not care that much about these things. So it's the product owner role to understand, like, where it should go and how it should be implemented, or even should it be implemented or not. My best probably, and my the thing that I'm usually fighting for, is a request when, for example, commercial director or someone, purely on the business role is coming and saying, okay, so we need a couple of more opportunity stages in our sales process. Let's make it happen and do it right now because I need to see it on the dashboard or something like this. So yeah, I'm a big fan of the most clear, simple, and shorter number of the opportunity stages. And, you know, it's easier to add one or two stages. However, it's much more difficult to get rid of the unnecessary later on when a lot of functionality is already assigned to these stages and a lot of automation processes are also there. So it's not that easy to get rid of the stages you do not need anymore. So yeah, I'm usually saying no when I hear this request, and yeah, it takes me at least a couple of months or even more to implement new stage and to understand if it's really necessary, and if we are sure that we want to have it listed in our opportunity management process.
Thanks for sharing. I think for all who just started their journey, it's a very important thing to learn how to say no.
Yeah, it should be, you know, polite. You should think about the end customer because he's asking you not because like it's something that he or she wants to do right now, but like it's really needed in his or her eyes. So you need to be deeply understand the necessity why the person is asking you such things, and to let them know the broader vision and introduce the broader picture which the person might not be able to see before the talk.
Georgi, I have a follow-up for a previous question. You mentioned product development strategy, and how do companies build that product development strategy? Through some meetings or through some other tools?
Depending on the product, of course. If we're talking about internal Salesforce implementations, so usually I was pretty flexible with the methodology that we could use. I prefer agile. It's not something that I love just because it's like a trend of the recent 10 or 20 years. I think it's effective. I think it is working. Sometimes the firms have internal agile standard and methodology. Sometimes you're much more flexible in choosing your own. But yeah, so you can set it up in the way which will be the most comfortable for yourself, and standardize the sprints or the Kanban approach, and track both backlog and the things you can do during the development cycle. It's always important to be in touch with the end customers. So what I prefer is to have like two weekly or at least bi-weekly regular calls with the end user, where everyone can come and ask whatever questions they have, and to listen to the voice of the customer, even if it can be painful sometimes, and some people will be annoyed, some people will be angry, some will use some bad words in describing your work, but this is a very important step to feel the tension, to feel the atmosphere, and to understand what are you doing right, what are you doing wrong, to understand what you can do better.
Yeah, okay, got it. It's sounds like it's a complicated multi-step process. It's not easy to define product development strategy. I have a couple of questions from the developer's perspective. How do you work with big user stories, you know, like huge user stories? Do you have any secrets or tips?
Well, ideally, the product owner is making the longer term strategy pipeline, which means like okay, by the end of the year or by the end of next year, we will be able to do this, this, and that with our product. So these features, this functionality will be there, and to have it implemented by the end of next year, we need to start doing something today. Otherwise, yeah, if we will just wait and do nothing, we probably will not be able to implement this roadmap. So having the bigger picture understanding what the product will look like in the 1 or 2 years perspective, you will be able to understand what will be your priorities in the nearest future. So you have this picture listed, probably you will be able to use Apex, probably whatever you want. I'm using Apex. Apex, one Apex is one bigger feature that will be implemented. Apex can be split into different value stories. So cutting the big demands, big requests to smaller pieces, you will be able to see how many user stories, smaller user stories are laying under this bigger epic. Each user story should ideally fit the timing of being implemented in one sprint, if you're using sprint, not something that will be lasting for a couple of months. Yeah, so one user story is one sprint. And then this user story should normally, smaller user story should normally be assigned to a certain person. Not because I'm the biggest fan of coming to people and saying, okay, you are responsible and you didn't do this. What the hell? Why are you doing this and not doing that? But because this will give people the ownership. Like sometimes it can happen that, you know, we all know that we'd have to do this, this and that. However, not everybody will be able to understand what exactly is expected from their side. And this assignment of user story to a certain person will give the pure understanding of what is expected and from whom. So people will understand it themselves. You as a product owner will be understanding this as well. And, you know, yeah, once again, I'm pretty liberal. One of the most democratic managers for my team, so I'm always trying to be kind, but this is something that provides, yeah, with a clear understanding of what is expected and from whom. And in what timeline, which is important as well.
Okay, it sounds like as long as we have that strategy, again, we can break that huge user stories to smaller pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is not something like rocket science. Yeah, when you have a big task to make it finally delivered, you have to cut into the pieces and, yeah, doing these pieces step by step.
My second question. I think it's a kind of eternal question for project management, for product management. Salesforce announced recently that all clients will have to move permissions from profiles to permission sets in the next 3 years. So it doesn't look like urgent task, but anyway, all the companies, all the clients have to do it. So I want to ask you how product owners balance urgent tasks with non-urgent, or if you like it, how to balance new features with technical debt.
I would say it's not something specific to the product ownership. It's something that we can apply the standard productivity approach, which is about this Eisenhower matrix, with the important and not important tasks on one side and urgent and non-urgent tasks on the other side, giving the combination of urgent and important tasks, important but not urgent, urgent and not important and not urgent. So, and the basic standard approach would give us an understanding that the worst thing we can do is working only on the urgent things. because it is stressful, it gives pressure, it gives you a lot of unplanned work, it gives you unsatisfaction at the end of the day. Exactly. So the approach, the standard approach that I would apply here is to focus on the work which is important, however not that urgent. Yeah, we will never be able to avoid urgent work at all, however we can try to keep it minimal. And working on important tasks in advance is something that we can do and something that will bring us less stress at the end of the day. So the approach, if we are talking about Salesforce product ownership, would be to list all of the tasks in one backlog, to do the regular reviews and not to miss the moment when the task would be urgent. The other hint that we can also apply would be like doing a balance in each sprint, for example, or in several sprints. Like we say, okay, so we dedicate ourselves to 90%, 90, 80, whatever, depending on a certain situation, to the new features. However, each sprint or once in two or once in three sprints, whatever, we will dedicate 10, 20, 40, 30, whatever percent of our time to the technical debt to avoid painful moments in future and to track them appropriately and accordingly in time. So this is the thing, we can handle this. Once again, we will not be able to avoid urgent tasks at all. However, yeah, we can reduce it and make it not that painful as the standard urgent task we have.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Well, I'm sure that many of our listeners now would like to know more about career paths as a product owner. So what would you advise anyone who would like to become a product owner? Where should they begin and which career paths should they choose to start with?
It can be different. So there is no standard career path that person can follow to become a product owner. However, what is definitely needed is kind of the balance between being interested in business and being interested in technical solutions that can serve the business and can solve the tasks of the business. So definitely, it's definitely difficult to start the career in the product owner role. For a person, for example, recently graduated from the university. However, I would say the standard career path, which can be fully or partially taken in the Salesforce environment, would be starting from admin or a QA role, then progressing to analyst or a consultancy role, then some kind of experience of project management, which can be also combined in the consultancy role. And yeah, then I think when a person has a good understanding of both business and technical side, have enough experience to say no to the customers when they will scream for a new feature immediately, then the person is ready for the product owner role and yeah, will be able to start the product ownership. And probably later on progressing to the roles like head of CRM or even a chief product officer in a firm which is product oriented.
What a journey. It's not that easy. Like you graduate and you become a product owner. Well, okay.
Or even better, you are born and then you become product owner immediately.
Right.
It is more complicated. However, not that far from this scenario.
We can make an online course like from kindergarten to product owner.
why product owner is the end of this journey? We can probably extend it and do some kind of advanced course for the future C-level executives.
Mm-hmm. So being the main guy responsible for CRM automation and maybe marketing automation. right?
Oh, probably for the whole company, why not? Because, you know, yeah, the combination of technology and understanding of business, you know, that's something that can bring you really high in the company's hierarchy.
And as you've already mentioned a couple of things, but would you highlight maybe the most important skills for product owner?
The most important, I would say, would be proactivity. So it's definitely not the role where you can just sit and wait for people to come to you and say, okay, let's do this, this and that. You should be proactive. You should go to the business meetings. You should be curious. You should be thinking, and not leaving your work 24 hours a day, but definitely something more than from 9 to 5, because otherwise, you will not be able to provide something valuable to the business at the end of the day. It's not something that you leave your work completely, but you know, I came up with a lot of ideas while walking across the city and thinking in my head something about my work. So it's that doesn't necessarily mean that you should sit in the office longer hours. So, but you should be interested in what you're doing. That's, I think, the basics, and of course, applicable not only for this role. The second point I would mention is leadership and ownership, both high level and low level. So you should be able to lead. You should be able to be responsible for big implementation, which normally costs companies a big budget. And you should not be afraid of it, and you should be able to say like, okay, give me this money, I will bring you something valuable. And of course, make it by the end of the day. As mentioned before, definitely both business and technical acumen, because one of these two shoulders will not definitely be able to support this head of the product owner in between of these shoulders. Organizational stuff is pretty important. You should be able to manage the work of group of people. You should be able to respond even bigger and broader group of customers. And you should be able to manage the stakeholders' expectations appropriately, which will require some organizational and management skills. Communication skills, which is definitely essential when you're going to communicate with people, especially at the C-level of the company's hierarchy. Some coaching skills would be a good advantage, because leading a team, you should give the people opportunities to develop themselves, to be interested in what they're doing, otherwise it will not last long. So people should be happy while doing the job. And I would also mention some kind of empathy, which is always important when you're doing some work with people. And being a product owner is definitely not something that you can do with the systems only, but people aspect is really important there. The whole list is not that critical to contain everything, but I would say the more points you will be able to tick within this list, more successful you can be in the role.
Well, you're talking about this career with such big passion, I would say. You definitely love what you're doing, right? How would you describe probably the most pleasurable part of being a product owner?
Thank you very much. I am really happy talking about this role. And for me, the biggest thing that I can see in the daily role of product owner is the result. You're able to offer new features, sometimes new business processes, because it's not all only about the system, but also about the business processes within the companies. You are able to influence. You see how your ideas are implemented. you start from, you know, wide spreadsheet and you end up with presenting a new solution and see the effect, whether it is economical effect or the happiness of the users. And you see, you know, how the things are changed under your immediate influence or after your initiative. And yeah, that makes me really motivated in things that I'm doing, and one of the pleasurable things in the role of the product owner. Apart from this, I'm really enjoying the role in between business and tech. So being aware of everything and yeah, know how everything is working around, starting from the business process and end up with the technical things. It gives some pleasure when you understand it all, sitting at the same time of the two most interesting chairs from my point of view. So that's definitely the point. And the third thing I would mention is the ability to influence people progress. When you, for example, inviting a person to the role of the middle developer, and the person is growing to the role of tech lead and then to a product owner role within your team, and you understand that this progress has happened because of your influence, because of the roadmap you created and the roadmap you implemented together. You see how people are evolving and how they make progress in their career. That's something that gives you a clear sense of happiness while you work, which is really important.
Okay. So many good things. And just a moment, Georgi, I want to ask, what is the worst part of being product owner? What is not so pleasant about this work?
Well, it's life. So sometimes bad things are happening. And yeah, of course, in the work process as well. For me, the most painful things would be the situations when some conflicts occur within your team, within this group of people you really like, you really dedicate your soul, and when you see like, okay, so they are arguing with each other, they have conflicts, and you know, it's life, it's people, so it happens from time to time. So this is the thing I would like to avoid. However, I think it's not possible. Yeah, sometimes you have to be a good mentor, to be a good coach for your team. You have to come and say, hey guys, like, I have perfect relationship with you. I have perfect relationship with them. Probably you can deal with each other and try to talk and to understand the points that you are talking about. Not to argue, to respect each other, not to blame each other for some things. So let's cooperate and let's be successful together. So yeah, sometimes it takes, you know, you have to take the role of the teacher in the younger school. however, yeah, it's something that happens and something that you have to be prepared for.
Okay, it sounds like good and bad, you know, are balanced.
Yeah, of course. But you know, it's everywhere. Not something special taking place here.
Okay, guys, we talked a lot about being a product owner, and believe it or not, we have no more questions. Georgi, thanks for sharing your experience and ideas.
Thank you very much. And once again, congratulations with your anniversary.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was an interesting journey into the world of a product owner role. And I hope that thanks to you, Georgi, we have managed today to go to the backstage and get deeper understanding of who a product owner is from the first hand. And maybe you have inspired someone and set someone of thinking of becoming a product owner. Why not?
Would be glad to. Yeah, thank you very much.
And as we don't have more questions, but if our listeners do, please ask them in the comments on any platforms you listen us to or on LinkedIn. Thank you, and stay tuned for more.
Thank you very much.
That is our show for today. It just remains for me now to thanks for listening. and stay tuned for the next episode of the Salesforce United podcast.
And I wish you all the best and good luck. So stay tuned, explore Salesforce, and if you are not still with us, subscribe to our podcast.